You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Day of January. It's my cousin Tom's birthday today. Big Tom. Yeah, he's 59. That's right. Next year, boy, it's all over. That's right. Halfway to 120. So welcome to All Marine Radio on a Wednesday edition. Should be an interesting and fun show. So I have a bit of a conundrum in my life right now. I'm going to head back to Washington, D.C., either over the weekend or early next week. And I get a chance to address most of the general officers in the Marine Corps about post-traumatic winning, which is awesome, right? That's not the conundrum. So here's the conundrum. This thing is a late edition, right? And I don't know that they had a cancellation or something. They have essentially an hour. So you got to back out 10 minutes for the question and answer. Somebody's got to introduce us. Let's say that's 5 to 10 minutes. So you have 45 minutes, essentially. Okay, so I would present, Josh will present, and then we have a couple people coming from Camp Lejeune that are going to talk each for 5 minutes. Okay, so... so that means I've got, like, no time, right? In the room are going to be, I'm going to know, I don't know what percentage of the general officers I know in the Marine Corps, but it's a big number, right? And they're going to have their wives with them. Imagine that. God has given me this opportunity, right? And in that crowd will be my platoon sergeant from OCS, General Timberlake. But I don't have any time to do a little stand-up comedy on these guys. That's my conundrum. Like, what the hell? What do I do? So, do I take time out of the presentation and say, look, like, this may, you know, do I tell them, hey, just for the record, my name is McNamara, not McNarama. That may come as a surprise to you. McNamara, okay? And what I did at OCS, right, was not any grounds for treason, okay? Okay? I want to set that record straight, too. Okay? Bad-mouthing your company commander and not knowing your platoon sergeant is behind you, that is not treason. It might be insubordination, but it's not treason. I want to get that off my chest, too. So now the question is, do I even go there? You know I have to. Come on. But I don't have very much time. And I rehearsed that, this thing that I'm going to do. I've got to get it under 20 minutes. Okay, so I rehearsed it, and so you keep cutting content, and you try to say, okay, what's important that I hit now, and make sure that's still in it. Okay, I can cut this, I can cut that. What of the videos do you cut out? I mean, for us, really, the post-traumatic winning thing, it's a show. Okay, it's not a class, it's not a presentation. I look at it as a show. Okay, it is designed to leave an impression on your heart. And a serious, you're going to get your heart squeezed all throughout this presentation. So, and it's going to be etched in your brain when you leave. Okay, so you think you're going to come into some bullshit resiliency training. You're going to leave a changed human being. Okay? And the stuff will be laser blasted into your brain. And your heart's going to be a little bit jacked up too. So you might want to go to a quiet place and lay down after the class. So that's what the class is. So, and, you know, the target audience is 18 to, you know, 30. That's the real target audience. And so if you're going to do that with them and you're going to keep them there for 3 hours, you better entertain them. Right? It better be compelling and interesting and something that, and so part of that is the video. Part of that is pictures, you know, music, all that stuff. So that's what it is. It's a show and it's a deliberate ambush as opposed to a hasty ambush, right? There's two different kinds. So it is deliberately laid out and choreographed, right? For those walking in. So, so trying to get that down to 20 minutes, come on, man, but it's, and then still have it not lose the power. So I went in and I cut down the videos, so you try to keep the essence of the video and then cut out anything extraneous, so editing all that stuff. And then I sat here yesterday. I was up till, I don't know, midnight last night, right? And I've got it that I can do it like in like anywhere between 18 minutes and 30 seconds and 19 minutes and 30 seconds. So Josh and I'll do a rehearsal today, and then the other thing hopefully that'll happen is we'll meet with other people back there that are interested in it. And I will tell you this: the interest grows every day. You know, Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps was texting me yesterday. Another meth commander. I mean, these are the corporate heads of the Marine Corps, and so it's pretty exciting. And the other exciting thing is hearing more stuff from the 2nd Marine Division about the second and third order effects of it. And I think that's pretty exciting, too. You've given people tools that they look at and say, I can do this. I wasn't comfortable talking about mental health, but these guys told me these things are true. And I'm looking at them, and yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, I wouldn't quarrel with any of that. Okay, so if these things are true, we can sit down and talk about these things with somebody and say, hey, man, you're struggling with this, but the 6th commandment says blah, 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 blah. And so, anyway, it'll be interesting. It's hard. It's hard. You know, and everybody back there has been apologetic. Hey, we've heard something really good happened down at Camp Lejeune. But we only have an hour. So we're sorry, you know. I'm like, no, don't be shit. We're excited just to come and do it. So anyway, So exciting stuff. But yeah, so that's my conundrum. Staff Sergeant Timberlake. Craig Timberlake. He was like the meanest dude I had ever met in my life. There was a kid sitting next that was in the rack next to me by the name of Mitchell. He was from Morehouse College in Atlanta, I think. And he had bad acne. And Timberlake nicknamed him Creature. Yeah. And that just became his name. Where's Creature? He's over there. Mitchell! I didn't call him Creature. That shit was mean. Yeah, Timberlake, man, he was hard and he was mean. And he was smart. Yeah, we started out with 60-something dudes and graduated 23. Yeah, ROCS platoon. Yeah. It was like every morning you wake up and there'd be more racks, like more mattresses rolled up. Like, where did he go? I don't know, man. He left in the middle of the night. They came and got him. You're like, oh, shit. Yeah, so Timberlake. Yeah, so like, how can I pass up that opportunity? And I know I'll have friends sitting in the audience saying, please, God, let this pass over me. Do not let him turn his gaze toward me. And they know who they are. That's the best thing. I'm just going to look at them like, you're so lucky. I don't have any time today. You with your pretty wife sitting next to you. You so deserve this. Anyway. No, but I do. I know so many general officers in the Marine Corps now. It's a joke. And I've served with them throughout, and a lot of them in Iraq and Afghanistan, and some, you know, way, way back to Quantico. A bunch of those guys are now general officers, so looking forward to it. But honestly, as the days go by, just more and more excited about the reception of post-traumatic winning. And, you know, honestly, if you're listening and you're not in the military, I want you to look around and find applications for it, because it's not hard. This is not about, it's about living with trauma in your life. So high schools, colleges, you know, hell, the first place I did it was Minnesota State University, Mankato. And so, and it's life stuff. It's not just military stuff. So anyway, get on my soapbox here. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. Before I do that, let me just make a comment. You know, we talk about the news a lot, and, you know, its lack of devotion to the truth. And that incident in D.C. Where the Native American with his drum wound up in front of a kid that goes to a Catholic high school in Kentucky, and that kid was annihilated, right, by our national media. And then it turns out, you know, the truth isn't close to that. And he's going on TV, and he's saying that's not what happened. And so you look at that, and so the reason that that kid said that, or the reason that kid got treated like that, was because he was wearing that red hat. If he hadn't been wearing that red hat, I mean, think about that. Our media does, in that case, what they loathe to be done either to them or to anybody that's a minority, and that is what? Paint them with a broad brush. And that kid got painted because of that hat. And if you saw the picture and read the articles, you look and you went, what the hell? And then, after you said, what the hell, you know, you had this, you know, expectation of this snarky-ass punk high school kid. You know, and then the second video comes out that says, hey, it didn't really happen like that. Now, that's on the heels of the BuzzFeed thing. And so, you know, again, at one point, does the American media, you know, I guess at no point, that the truth isn't even a consideration anymore. That's scary. I mean, that should scare the hell out of all of us. And that it's so blatant now. You know, I mean, you had the Office of the Special Prosecutor come out and which they never do, right? But the BuzzFeed story evidently was so outside the bell curve that they felt the need to respond to it, which doesn't happen. So, again, I you look at the American media, and again, in my life, I've watched this since I was a kid, and it always struck me as wrong. My first experience with it was when I was probably, it would have been 1967 or 1968, so I was 10 or 11, and my dad was managing in the minor leagues, in the Southern League, in Double A baseball, and we were either in 66 we were in Mobile, and 67 we were in Birmingham. Can you imagine that? Segregated South, right? Birmingham, Alabama. Right? It'd been, you know, just torn up by racial strife. Anyway, so my dad manages a baseball team there. And, yeah, I can tell you some stuff. One of the coolest memories of my mom as a kid happened during this time, but, and I'll tell that story here in a second. But we were going to, hold on. I was big in history, right? And the Civil War and whatnot. And so Montgomery became the capital of the Confederacy. And they have a museum there. And so my mom said, hey, to my dad, why don't you take Michael on the road trip to Montgomery and take him down to the museum? And my dad did. I think it's the only time he and I ever went to a museum, maybe in our lives. So anyway, but down we went. There's a star on the front steps of the Capitol in Montgomery where Jefferson Davis gave some address. And downstairs in the basement, there's a museum. And so we went to that. And I spent the weekend with my dad, and then we went back to Birmingham. And somebody wrote about it in the article that I went along for the trip. And at the end of the trip, I told my mom, I'm not even tired. And I read the thing in the newspaper, and I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, I never said that. And she looked at me, she said, I know, sometimes they make stuff up to make the stories better. But I wasn't a dumb kid, and I read a lot. I said, but Mom, that's in quotes. That means I said that. And she looked at me and she said, I know. It's like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, you know, those are my first experiences, my first experience with the media. I mean, going back to the time I was 10, right? I was, not only was I misquoted, the quote was absolutely fabricated. So, anyway, and it's a cute story, and come on, it's harmless, right? So anyway, I'll tell you the cool story about my mom. After a game, my dad would, you know, I mean, he had to talk to the one newspaper reporter, and then it would take him about an hour to get showered and, you know, if he had to talk to any players about any issues after the game, and then, you know, we'd be there by ourselves. You know, most of the families had all gone. Everybody that went to the game was gone. And there might be one or two autograph seekers left. So we're in this dark parking lot with lights, you know, the street lights on and whatnot. The lights of the stadium are off. And it's a warm summer night. So I have two sisters at the time. There's three of us, but my youngest sister is too young. She wasn't playing. And so my two other, Peggy and Maureen and I, are playing tag. And there's kids from the neighborhood. And the stadium's in, you know, one of the poor neighborhoods. So the kids are all black kids. So we're playing with these kids. We're playing tag. And the trainer comes out from my dad's team and just goes crazy. Okay? And so he starts yelling at and using the N-word and screaming at these kids, get out of here. And we just stopped, right? Like, what happened? What did we do wrong? So my mom wasn't too far, and so we kind of walked over a few feet, and we stood next to our mom as this guy yelled at these black kids, and they just kind of stood there and looked at him, right? So it's probably not the first time they'd experienced this in their life, and my mom was standing there, kind of leaning, like with her kind of butt against the back of our Bonneville, our maroon Bonneville that had air conditioning. Yeah, tell me that wasn't legit in 1967. So anyway, she's sitting here smoking cigarette, watching us play tag, her parliaments. And we looked at her and we said, did we do something wrong? And she said, no. No, you didn't. And then she said, and then we said, can we play with those kids? And she said, she's smoking her cigarette. She's like, she says, not only will you play with them, you go play with them right now, and you stay right here and play with them here. Okay? Okay. So off we go walking back, and they're like, we're still going to play. And they said, okay. And this guy stared at my mom, and she just stared back at him, smoking her cigarette, just staring at him. I thought that was awesome, right? My mom was not having that. She was not having it. So anyway, the media, even back as far as 1966, 67, inventing stories, time-honored tradition, I guess, in the media. But I'll tell you what, it's pretty gross. And that kid and his family, man, they've been drugged through the street. And, you know, they had what? People from AIM outside the high school yesterday? They didn't have classes? Come on. Like, what is that? You know? And the whole thing is a made-for-TV event. That's what our media has devolved to. All these made-for-TV events that drive clicks so somebody can get a raise and get their name attached to something. It's awful. Awful. All right. What we're going to do on the program today, there's a bunch of stuff in the news we'll talk about, but at the top of the hour, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kinney are going to come on, and we're going to talk current events. So two interesting guys, and so we'll talk about the events in Syria, and get their thoughts on what happened almost a week ago. And then we'll talk some leadership with them. Well, I'll ask them about the Navy. Tim was a corpsman in the Navy. So get their thoughts on, the investigation and the articles that came out about the USS Fitzgerald and, whatever else, we decide to talk about. But they're two very interesting guys and, so always a good time. So don't touch that dial. It should be an interesting show this morning. All right, with that said, United States Marine Corps Band makes Wednesday official. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. this is dedicated to my cousin Tom on his birthday. One of the best guys I know, one of the most dependable and loyal friends that I have, the closest thing I have to a brother. And so this is dedicated to him on his 59th birthday, halfway to 158. Congratulations, Big Tom. Hey, let me tell you about Tom, my cousin Tom. We were raised, our family, I mean, is a baseball family, played baseball. When he's like 9 or 10, right, something like that, he gets a cup for Christmas, right, an athletic cup. So he gets a supporter, a jock, and his cup for Christmas. So now they're going to go to Mass. And my uncle Stan, you know, he goes and starts the car. It's cold, right? So he goes and starts the car. And to hear him tell the story, he goes back in the house, and it's like, all right, let's go. And so they're walking out of the house, right? And he said, and Tom's in front of me, and he's looking like he's walking. He just got off a horse. And he says, hey, what's wrong with you? And he turns around, right, and he's wearing these slacks he's going to wear to church. And he's got his cup. He's trying to wear his cup to church. And my uncle looks at him and says, what the hell is wrong with you? And he says, what? I want to wear my cup to church. My cousin Tom, if you met him when he was like 8 or 9 or 10, he acted like he was 53. Right? He did. He's a funny kid, but he knew everybody in town because my Uncle Jim knew everybody in town. And, you know, he knew all these old guys. I didn't know them. And so he's arguing with his dad that I want to wear my cup to church. You better get your ass in that house because you are not wearing that thing. You are not wearing that thing to church. And I'll tell you, again, this is what a jackass he was when we were kids. So, you know what, as a kid, he was a jackass. As an adult, he's like a really nice guy. He had a transformation. And my mom, Kathleen, she wanted a piece of his ass so bad. Oh, my God. She would, when they'd come over, Tommy, he'd be running around, not raising too much hell, but he'd be, like, on the edge. Right? And Kathleen had it in for him, man. She'd like smoke her cigarettes and just stare at him. Little Tommy's half Italian, right? Little chubby red cheeks and curly hair. Kathleen would just be smoking her cigarettes like, yeah, I want a piece. Step out of line. I want a piece of that kid. So we used to have these family picnics in the summer. And they were highlights of the summer. And we'd play softball. And it was always fun because, you know, my uncles were very, very good baseball players and softball players. And, I mean, but that's what we did as a family. We played baseball. The girls knew how to play. So Tommy's hitting, right? His dad's playing shortstop, my Uncle Jim. And his mother is playing first base, Millie. Now, Millie's not a great athlete, but she can play a little bit. And we're at the park's pretty close to where Millie grew up, so she's feeling good about herself. So Millie's playing first base. Tommy hits a ground ball to shortstop. My uncle, and he takes off running. He might be 10 or 11. He takes off running. Millie is, you know, she runs to the base, and so she stands on first base. And my Uncle Jim catches the ball, and he tosses it to Millie, right? She catches it, but she's standing on the base. And what do you think Tommy does? He puts his head down. He puts his head down, and he barrels into his mother. Millie goes, like, on her ass, and he does, like, a somersault over his mom. And I don't know that Tom and I were on the same team, but I was watching, I was like, and my Uncle Jim was so pissed. So Tommy does a somersault, and he's, like, on his knees, and my Uncle Jim's yelling, God damn it, Tommy. And he stands up and he looks at his dad and says, what? She was on the base. You can't run your mom over when she's on the base? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Oh my God. And my uncle and my Aunt Millie is like the coolest thing. She still to this day, you know, she has formaldehyde in her veins. She doesn't age, and she's always been like this easygoing woman. And she got up, she put her sunglasses on. He got thrown out of the game. My Uncle Jim threw him out of the game. My Uncle Jim was an umpire. You're out of the game. You're done. Get out of here. What the hell is wrong with you? It's his birthday. It's his birthday. Run your mother over? Come on, man. You can't do that. So this is dedicated to Tom. And like I said, much nicer as an adult than he was as a kid.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me, it made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we're going to check the weather right now. Currently cloudy and 40 in Quantico. It is cloudy and 61 at Camp Lejeune, so warmed up on the East Coast. Cooled off in Texas, partly sunny and 33 in Granbury. 29 Palms, sunny and 42. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 37. Yeah, what? In Okinawa, dark cloudy and 59, home of the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Fallujah, it is dark, clear, and 54 degrees. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in the provincial capital of Lashkar Gah, it is clear, dark, and 43. At the home of All Marine Radio, 47 degrees under sunny skies. Looking for a high of 69 degrees. And sunny today. That'll be nice. 74 tomorrow and 74 and only sun on Friday. Nice. I am looking forward to that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We'll check some news headlines on a Wednesday hump day edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
7:44 on this Wednesday.
I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out.
All right, time to check the news headlines. The Pentagon announced today that an American service member was killed in action in a very short, perfunctory announcement, and the notification is being withheld until the notification of next of kin has been done. There's no other reporting about the incident. And so when they use the term killed in action, obviously it means that they in the hands of the enemy. So, but there's no other reporting on it. So, so we'll stand by and we'll wait for that. But somebody getting their world rocked. ISIS car bomb targets U.S. troops in Syria 1 week after four Americans were killed in Manbij. So is this the retort to Donald Trump that ISIS has been destroyed? And so ISIS is going to flex its muscles. U.S. and local partner forces were attacked on Monday by what appears to have been a vehicle-borne improvised IED, otherwise known as a VBIED. And what that means is somebody driving down the road with a car full of explosives, and as they either attempt to pass you or as they're coming towards you, they simply veer into you. And that's what it looks like. The picture shows an MRAP, which is one of our, you know, pretty sturdy vehicles, high clearance, pretty big. And it shows it completely engulfed in flames. And it looks like the origin of the explosion is the engine compartment. So somebody would have been maybe coming head on and veered into it. Both U.S. and its Syrian Democratic Force allies denied any casualties resulted from the incident, although local Kurdish news media reports immediately after the incident that one U.S. service member and some local security forces were slightly injured. You know, I mean, honestly, it's amazing and a tribute to the vehicle, because when you see the picture of the vehicle is fully engulfed in flames. The ISIS-affiliated Amaq News Network took responsibility for the attack. Quote, we can confirm a combined U.S. and Syria partner force convoy was involved in an apparent VBIED, vehicle-borne, right, attack today in Syria. There were no U.S. casualties, said Sean Ryan, a spokesman for the coalition. The attack occurred on a road outside al-Shadaki, a town in Syria's al-Hasaka province. The location is a roughly five-hour drive east of the site of the last bomb attack against U.S. troops in the town of Manbij, so closer to Iraq. And let me just tell you something. In that part of the world, that is the land of, you know, a lot of Sunnis, and the Sunnis do suicide bombing better than anybody on the planet, sadly. The targeted vehicle shown in pictures taken by local news media appears to be a Lenco Bearcat, a commercial off-the-shelf version of the vehicles that were approved as U.S. military aid to the Syrian Defense Forces in September of 2017. Officials said in a statement that the VBIED was detonated prior to reaching the convoy. Well, then why is the vehicle on fire if the VBIED had detonated? So, anyway, the technique that they use is they just ram it right into you. And, you know, when on impact, it detonates. And they're huge explosions, as you can imagine. You know, I was talking about the explosion in Manbij. You know, Mike and I were talking about, you know, kind of a post-blast, a from-afar post-blast analysis, and you see the amount of fire that comes out of that restaurant, and that's not a suicide vest. All right, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a suicide vest. Because, you know, if you're walking and you have the vest on, you are limited by what you can carry, and the fact that you don't want it to look conspicuous, that it has to look inconspicuous, so it can't be that big and bulky, or else somebody's going to look at you and say, hey, man, what are you doing? So anyway, but in a vehicle, I mean, you can pack the trunk full of artillery rounds, right? You can pack the back seat full of artillery rounds. I mean, you can load that thing up. And think of, and imagine what you can do with something like a water truck. Yeah. I mean, that's how you see those videos that buildings get knocked down. So, anyway. So, it looks to me as if ISIS is attempting to show the world that, hey, we are not defeated. Okay? We are not defeated. So, anyway. Which is curious, right? I mean, if I was them, what I would do is I would say, hey, leave the Americans alone. Do not touch the Americans. Let them leave the region. Yeah. Hell, their president, you know, announced it. If you do these things, all you're going to do is give him a premise to change his mind, which he is known to do. Next headline, Pentagon, no changes to policy on transgender troops for now. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday and upheld the Defense Department's limits on which transgender personnel may be allowed to serve. The Trump administration may move forward with a ban on transgender service members who experience gender dysphoria or who have transitioned to their preferred sex from serving in the military. And there's a series of lower court cases that continue to be heard. And a national injunction in place, so the policy can't change. So, also, there's a link to General Mattis's guidance and the Pentagon study behind the transgender decision. So, look, whenever you put the president's face on it, it's not, the ruling wasn't about President Trump's ban. It was about Secretary Mattis's policy. Okay, that's what the ruling's about. If it would simply have been, you know, the president's Twitter ban, it would certainly would have been overruled. But I think when you read, and we did on the program, when you go through the study and you go through the recommendations and then you go through the recommendations of the policy and what the policy says, right, I think it is simply holding transgender people to the same standard that everybody else. They are not a special class of human being. They have to meet the same requirements, and it is unreasonable when your job is to deploy and to fight, that you should come into the American military and say, well, yeah, for a period of maybe 3 years or longer, I will not be able to deploy. Well, we don't need you. And we don't care if it's your sex identity, your knee, your head, or your shoulder. We can't park you on the side. You will be med boarded out. So, again, that assumes that anybody's interested in the truth. And sometimes, I know, Mac, you're a dope. You think, right? You think the world is run by the truth, and it's not. That's true right there. The world isn't run by the truth. It's run by whoever has the most votes. U.S. House overwhelmingly votes to bar exit from NATO. This is like a no news story. In a bipartisan 357-22 vote that means absolutely nothing, the Democratic-led lower chamber sent the Senate the NATO Support Act, which would prohibit the use of federal funds to withdraw from the 70-year-old alliance. Okay. All right. Must have been not a whole lot going on in Capitol Hill if we have time for that kind of dumb shit. These moving robotic targets can modernize any range and keep Marines and soldiers shooting sharp. I'll tell you something that's funny. When you go to these moving target ranges, it's pretty funny because, you know, they start moving and doing their thing, and guess what? People don't get hit. Back in the old days when they had, you know, just silhouette targets stuck, and, you know, you would do your thing. Now, you know, when you go to these ranges, you have to knock the target down to move, right? You have to aim and shoot, and it ain't easy. With all your gear on, huffing and puffing? Yeah. And now the things that they can do with robotics and things on rails and pop them up in one position, move them, pop them up in the other, and you got to hit them to make them go down, it's awesome. I mean, the stuff that you can, the training that you can do and the skills that you can acquire in peacetime, pretty impressive. And it's all done with robotics on ranges. So pretty interesting stuff. And you can do it, you know, indoors. You can do it outdoors if you have the appropriate facilities. So if you're into training and stuff like that, it is a pretty cool thing. Top five stories in Early Bird. Coast Guard families plead with lawmakers as they prepare to miss another paycheck. Playing stupid political games. I don't know. How does it end? It looks like the Democrats, you know, the president's offered, look, let's talk about, you know, the Dreamers, you know, and the answer is no. With no counteroffer. So it looks like, I guess, Nancy Pelosi's strategy is we're going to make the president back down. So we'll see how that works out. American soldier wounded in Manbij attacks, fighting for his life. Set of stars and stripes. A soldier wounded in a deadly bombing in the Syrian town of Manbij last week is fighting for his life at a military hospital in Germany. Captain Jonathan Turnbull, 32, a native of Gaylord, Michigan, is being treated at Landstuhl Regional Medical Center and is in serious condition, a spokesperson said. Serious condition means vital signs may be unstable and outside normal limits and that the patient's prospects remain uncertain. Normally, serious, right, is not critical. So, you know, the question I was just asked when I needed to know if somebody was going to live or die, right, is, are his injuries life-threatening? If you got yes, that's all I want to know, okay? That's all I want to know, and that's what I would report. All those other words, like, I'm not really sure that they matter. The U.S. and British conduct training in the South China Sea. I love that. Look at recent deployments of the South China Sea, where China is pitted against smaller neighbors in multiple disputes over islands, coral reefs, and lagoons in waters crucial for global commerce and rich in fish and potential oil and gas reserves. U.S. and British Navy hold maneuvers there. Now, again, what I want to see is I want to see the Aussies down there, the Japanese down there, and the Koreans down there. The Arleigh Burke guided missile destroyer, USS McCampbell, and the Royal Navy's Type 23 frigate Argyle conducted operations together in the South China Sea from January 11th to January 16th, the Pacific Fleet said in a news release. I don't care really what they did. What's more important is that they were simply there, and they make that statement, right? They make that statement. The CNO, the Chief of Naval Operations, was in Beijing, you know, urging China to follow the rules, the international rules that govern the sea. Like, what? So, again, all this is predicated on China using its economy as a weapon and saying, we don't really care about the rules of the road because you want access to our market because it'll make you rich. And because you do, we'll use that against you and we'll fashion the world around what we want it to be. Next story. Navy officer who supervised the SEAL accused of war crimes is himself charged. From San Diego. The Navy officer who supervised the SEAL accused of fatally stabbing an Islamic State prisoner in Iraq in 2017 charged Tuesday with various offenses tied to the case, including allegations he conducted the SEAL's reenlistment body next to the corpse and encouraged enlisted personnel to pose for photos with the body. The court-martial for Lieutenant Jacob Portier, I'm not sure, began with the arraignment on Tuesday at the Naval Base in San Diego. He is accused of failing to report a war crime, destroying evidence, and impeding the investigation of Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher. His attorney, Jay Sullivan, said Portier will plead not guilty to all charges at a later date, which is allowed under military court rules. Sullivan said Portier, who was the officer in charge of Gallagher's platoon during the deployment, is innocent. Sullivan believes it will come out that the Islamic State fighter was killed in combat operations, and Portier was not there. So, again, I've talked to you before. The Special Forces community has issues, and it grew very fast. And I will tell you, there were people that were involved in that didn't have the judgment to be in the positions they were, and that's why these things happen. Two more stories, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get Jeff Kenny and Tim Lynch on. U.S. destroyer arrives in tense Black Sea region as Russia watches closely. The USS Donald Cook heads for the Black Sea, and it's kind of silhouetted against the backdrop of Istanbul, Turkey. The destroyer Cook has arrived at a port visit in the Black Sea nation of Georgia as Russia monitors the ship's movements at a time of heightened tensions in the region. The ship docked Monday at Batumi on the sea's eastern coast after transiting the Dardanelles Strait on Saturday, the Navy said in a statement. So again, and just so you know, I mean, if you've never seen some of the shit that's gone on in the Black Sea with Russian ships ramming American ships, go check that out on YouTube. So again, Russia doing the same thing that China does, which is, hey, because we say it is so, it is so. It ain't so. But again, if you don't push back, then it is what it is. Final story. U.S. intelligence warns of ever more diverse threats. This story comes out of the Associated Press from Washington. Russia's efforts to expand its influence with China's modernizing military are among the ever more diverse threats facing the United States, according to a major intelligence report released yesterday. The National Intelligence Strategy Report, issued every 4 years, also singles out such potential threats as North Korea's pursuit of nuclear weapons, the growing cyber capabilities of U.S. adversaries, and global political instability. The report notes that the United States faces an increasingly complex and uncertain world in which threats are becoming ever more diverse and interconnected. U.S. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats says the United States must respond to what he calls a turbulent and complex environment. Quote, we face changes in the domestic and global environment. We must be ready to meet the 21st century challenges and to recognize emerging threats and opportunities. You know what? That's scary. And the Russians have exploited it. Alex Hollings was talking about it, that Vladimir Putin is essentially a poser. But he plays, you know, the combined role of James Bond and Dr. Evil better than anybody. But the threats that they pose through cyber attacks on the United States are substantial. And I think I told you, but I had a friend that told me that the Chinese in a year stole more American technology than we spent in Iraq and Afghanistan combined over the course of 10 years. That's how substantial the damage is that gets done by this kind of stuff. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch will join us, and we'll talk issues. Don't touch that dial.